This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. This is July the 21st, 2019. The title of this is Be Angry and Sin Not. This is Ephesians 4:26. It says, when angry, do not sin. And it goes on to say, don't let your wrath, in other words, take care of it before the sun goes down. The word angry there means to provoke or enrage or become exasperated. But I want to say to you today, it is not wrong to get angry. Now I want you to listen to this statement. Anger is a warning of a violation of boundaries, of your boundaries. That's why you get angry. When someone violates your boundaries, you get angry. It's like a warning. All right, I want to show you some examples. This is Matthew 21. Verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple and drove out all who bought and sold in the sacred place, and he turned over the four-footed tables of the money changers and the chairs of those who sold doves, and he said to them, the scripture says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. So Jesus got angry at what he saw, and it caused him to overturn. He got angry. There's different times he got angry in the scriptures. Let's see, Mark 3 is another. We're just going to look at those two, but there's several. He was getting mad at the religious leaders. He got angry at them on several occasions. And he had some sharp words, too. All right, Mark 6, I mean, dead men's bones. Blind leading the blind. Mark 3, 1 through 6. Again, Jesus went into a synagogue, and a man was there who had one withered hand. And the Pharisees kept watching Jesus to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might set a charge to bring against him. He said to the man who had the withered hand, get up in the midst. And he said to them, is it lawful and right on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to take it? But they kept silence. And he glanced around at them with vexation and anger, grieved at the hardening of the hearts, and said to the man, hold out your hand. He held it out, and his hand was restored. And then they went consulted to put him to death. So Jesus got angry at times. Did he sin? No. All right, it's not wrong to get angry. Anger is a warning of a violation of your boundaries. We've been taught that getting angry is wrong, but the scriptures do not bear that out. An alarm going off is a good thing. Just think about the alarms on cars or security systems. They are there to keep invaders out. I think about the border. Border Patrol, ICE agents to keep aliens out of our country that are wanting to come in to harm us. This is a good thing to let you know that you have been violated. Usually you have been violated over and over, and it eventually leads to anger. There are a lot of angry people in the world. Could this be part of their problem? They're being forced to do what they don't want to do against their will. This world is full of angry people. This is food for thought. What really makes you angry? God's word puts boundaries around our lives. When those boundaries are not violated, all is at peace and security is there. Peace makes the call. Now, maybe we are getting to the root of the matter. If you are suffering with a lot of exasperation in your life, maybe this is the reason. It's not people. Don't blame them. You are the enforcer of your boundaries. It's not up to it's not the person that's doing the violating, it's the one that has the boundary. They have to enforce it. We have to, as the United States, keep aliens out. We have to do that. They're going to keep trying to come in. But we have to enforce that. Okay. We can see in God's creation that everything was put in place and boundaries set. Read chapter 1 of Genesis. He put the boundary between the land and the water. He made our bodies. Our organs have boundaries. They work within their own boundary. In the body of Christ, we're the same way. One's the ear, one's the eye, one other's an arm, and then a... But we all work within our own boundaries. Don't violate each other. Genesis 6, when the sons of God came and mated with earth women and they began to do genetic experiences, you know, mate with animals, with humans, and all this cross this and cross that, what happened? Total confusion that nearly ended in total devastation of our earth. We're seeing firsthand in our country and the countries of the world the absence of boundaries. That's lawlessness abounds. So how do we enforce our borders or boundaries? Matthew 5:37. Let your yes be simply yes. And let your no be simply no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. To your own self be true. What brings you peace? In the old covenant, God gave the 12 tribes of Israel their own land with fixed boundaries. He also gave them the 10 commandments to live by. It was mainly about not violating God's boundaries and not violating your neighbor's boundaries. Don't take your neighbor's wife or his whatever, and don't kill your neighbor. Don't make any graven images before me. Okay, Proverbs 27:17. We should be able to say no and not be made to feel bad about it. To our own self be true. Don't you respect people that are that way, that can just say yes or nay or yay or nay and just stand their ground? I do. 27:17. That's not the scripture that's supposed to be. So I don't... Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9:7. I think if we would live this way, we'd have a lot of peace in our life. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. It's not just money. It's wrong to guilt someone into doing what you want. This is not free will, but control. Whatever we do for others must be a free choice, and as unto the Lord, our motive should never be, you owe me. All right, Luke 10. The Pharisees noticed and was astonished that Jesus did not first wash before dinner. But the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside you yourselves are full of greed and robbery and extortion and malice and wickedness, you senseless ones." Okay. Acting without reflection or intelligence, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But dedicate your inner self and give as donations to the poor of those things which are within or outward. Behold, everything is purified and clean. But woe to you Pharisees. I'm wondering why I wrote this here. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every little herb, but disregard and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best feasts in the synagogues, and he loved to be greeted and bowed down to the in the public marketplaces. So what am I saying here? I don't know. I'm reading the wrong thing. It was supposed to be in the story of Mary and Martha. Luke. Am I not in Luke? I'm in Luke. I wrote it down wrong. I'm not Luke 10. I just wrote it down wrong. Ten what?
38, Martha and Mary.
I guess I just, okay. 38. All right. Now while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to come help me. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one, but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken from her. I view this differently than I used to after this. Thankfully, Mary kept her boundaries protected and wasn't moved by her sister's guilt trip. I'm sure she had an earful before Jesus even arrived. That you lazy, good for nothing. Don't you leave me in here to serve while you just go off and do your thing. Martha was very insecure, obviously, and not at peace. Double-minded, even. Chaotic. Isn't peace better? That's what God wants us to do. What we do, we need to do is unto the Lord, and that our yes be yes, and our nay, nay. I always respected Danny's stepfather, Burl, because I remember one time, Danny's mother was one of these that just push you, trying to get you to do things you don't want to do all the time. And I had a struggle for a lot of years. Nothing disrespectful to Evelyn. That's just the way she was and didn't learn any better. But I remember we were having a Thanksgiving gathering, and everybody was sitting around just enjoying each other. He was having a good time visiting with everybody, and she didn't like it. She wanted to go to the sale down the street, and she was trying to get him to do what he wanted. He just looked at her and said, no. I thought, you go! I should have been saying that for years. No! I'm not going to do what you want. She rooked me into doing stuff, and I was scared and timid, and I just let her beat me up. I'll tell you what, I wished I'd have just said, no! Just like Burl. No! You're not going to make me do anything that I don't want to do anymore. I've done that all my life, and I am done with it. We're free. We're to be cheerful givers. If you don't want to do something, just say, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I just really don't want to go. I just don't really want to do that. You can be nice about it. And it's wrong. To me, it's witchcraft to try to pull somebody to get them to do what you want them to do. It's wrong. I've talked to my children about it. Don't pull on us to do this. Don't, you know, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I think they're supposed to do this, but I leave it to you. If they're supposed to do this, then you talk to them, okay? You talk to them, and then I'll know if it's, you know, that's what I try to do. And I just encourage you to do the same. It'll set you free, and I think it'll bring a lot of peace in your life to do that. Okay.